بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of February in the year 2018 alhamdulillah we've completed the 9th week the 63rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion, the veritable soul of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu. And I'm steadily going through the glorious battle of Yarmouk. So moving to the next section entitled, The Fifth Day. The tide turns. Early on the fifth day of battle, the two forces again formed up on their lines. But on this day, the soldiers did not stand so erect, nor look so imposing. Next to each unwounded man stood a wounded one. Some could hardly stand, but stand they did. So obviously, as each day is progressing, there's going to be more people, both sides, with injuries. So obviously, this is the fifth day. So you can... you can see in your mind's eye visibly that there was many of the soldiers, mujahideen, standing, and they were wounded, and there were very few that were unmarked. So obviously now they were really, you know, basically going to the end of human endurance. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu now looked intently at the Roman front for any sign of movement, and wondered if the Romans would perhaps attack once again. But this time, there was no movement, not even for an hour or so. So this was the brilliance of Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu. He was prepared for all sorts of combinations. Note that the Romans tried different tactics on the various days. So he's now noticing again whether they're going to try any kind of maneuver, but nothing happened. Then suddenly, one man emerged from the Roman center. This was an envoy of Vahan, who had now brought a proposal for truce for the next few days, so that fresh negotiations could be held. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu nearly accepted the proposal, but he was restrained by the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu sent the envoy back with the following reply: "We are now in a hurry to finish this business." Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullah alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 153. So note, he sent a messenger, the Roman commander-in-chief, and he wanted basically more time, period of truce. So that was the sign. And Abu Ubaidah nearly gave him that, but Khalid was nowhere in a rush now to finish this business. Now Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu knew, he had guessed right. The Romans were no longer eager for battle. The rest of the fifth day thus passed uneventfully, while Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu remained busy giving orders for the counter-offensive and carrying out some reorganization. All the cavalry regiments were now combined and grouped together into one powerful mounted force, with the mobile guard acting as its hardcore. The total strength of this cavalry group was now around 8,000 horses. The next day, the sword of vengeance would flash over the plain of Yarmouk. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu, now for the first time in the entire encounter, he's on the offensive. Because now it's time to attack. And he reorganizes the battalions. He twerks them. But one major difference is that he gets all the cavalry from various parts into one large mounted group, and there's 8,000 of them now. So this was obviously for the next fateful day. The fateful sixth day of raging conflagration. The sixth day of battle dawned bright and clear. The stillness of the morning gave no indication of the holocaust that was to follow. The Muslims were now feeling more refreshed and were eager for battle. So basically they had one day of recuperation. As the sun rose over the dim skyline, the commander of the Roman right European wing, the army of chains, Gregory, he rode forward. But this time from the center of the imperial army. Look how interesting. He's the commander of the Roman right, but he rode out of the center. He had come with the mission of killing the Muslim army commander in the hope that this would have a demoralizing effect on the Muslim rank and file. So he's a brave man. He thought the only way to get the initiative again now is to take out the commander-in-chief of the Muslims. So the top-ranking general Gregory of the right, he comes out from the center. It is related. As he drew near the Muslim center, he cried out a challenge, saying, "No one but the commander of the Arabs." Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 153. In other words, I want the commander to come and challenge me. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, thereupon with a wry smile, was about to go forth, when suddenly, subhanallah, the blessed arm of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu came across his blessed chest. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu thereupon prepared to go forth. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and others radiallahu ta'ala anhu thereupon tried to dissuade him, for Gregory had the reputation of being a powerful fighter, and he looked it too. All felt it would thus be far better if the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent out in response to the challenge. But Abu Ubaidah was adamant, radiallahu. So what's happened? He wanted the commander. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he considered himself to be the one he was addressing. But obviously there's a huge difference in terms of fighting prowess between Khalid bin Walid and Abu Ubaidah. They were both warriors, but obviously Khalid was created for this. But when he put his blessed arm out, imagine, he goes, "Oh, commander, you know, it's better, let Khalid deal with it." He goes, "No, I'm going forward." Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 153, he thereupon gave the army standard to Khalid bin Walid with the instruction, "If I do not return, you shall then command the army until the Khalif decides the matter." Meaning, all authority goes to you. Even what I've given to you, what I've been taken as leading the prayer, all the rest, all of that is given to you, unless the Amir al-Mu'mineen decides otherwise, if I don't come back. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu thereupon rode out to meet the challenge, with the other corps commanders now looking on anxiously. So all of them were looking, thinking, you know, maybe Abu Ubaidah is going to be martyred. Yazid was looking on, radiallahu. Amr ibn al-As. Don't forget, this was now where they had combined. There's a premeditated plan by Khalid radiallahu. The two generals thus met on horseback. They drew their swords and they began to duel. Both were splendid swordsmen and treated the onlookers to a thrilling display of swordsmanship with cut, parry and thrust. Muslims and Romans held their breath. There was a pin drop silence. It was as if time itself had stood still. Thereafter, after a few minutes of combat, Gregory, he drew back from his adversary. He turned his horse and began to canter away. Shouts of joy thereupon arose from the Muslim ranks at what appeared to be the defeat of the Romans. But there was no such reaction from Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu. With his eyes fixed intently on the retreating Roman, he urged his horse forward and gave chase. Gregory had hardly gone a few hundred paces when Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah caught up with him radiallahu. Suddenly, subhanallah, Gregory, who had deliberately controlled the pace of his horse to let Abu Ubaidah overtake him, radiallahu, turned abruptly and more swiftly and raised his sword to strike the venerable commander. His apparent flight had thus been a ploy to throw his opponent off guard. However, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu was no novice. He knew more about swordplay than Gregory would ever learn. The Roman general swiftly raised his sword, but that is as far as he got. He was thereupon instantly struck at the base of the neck by Abu Ubaidah, radiallahu, and the sword fell from his hand as his huge body crashed to the ground. For a few moments, Abu Ubaidah sat still on his horse, marveling at the enormous size of the Roman general. Then, subhanallah, leaving behind the bejeweled and gold-encrusted armor and weapons of the Roman, which he ignored with his habitual disregard for worldly possessions, the saintly general of paradise turned and rode back to the Muslim front, where he was warmly greeted by the roar of takbir from the blessed Muslim ranks. Subhanallah. So basically, Abu Ubaidah knew that this was a plan of Gregory. So it backfired. He turned, but Abu Ubaidah used that against him and struck him at the neck, meaning fatally. But when he fell, he was entitled to all the spoils. Don't forget this, this was a Roman general. And all he did was he was circling him, just looking at the huge body. And notice how huge these Romans were. You know, just like their sons now, innit? Right? So, and he fell, and he just ignored everything. And he went back to the Muslim ranks. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, upon seeing the blessed scene, and upon the return of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, now galloped off to join the cavalry which had been positioned behind the corps of Amr ibn al-As, the Muslim right wing. So now the main event. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, where is he positioned the cavalry? Behind Amr ibn al-As, the right wing of the Muslims. As Khalid arrived radiallahu anhu, he instantly gave the signal for the general attack, and the entire Muslim front surged forward. So this is the first, all of the four battalions were now on the offensive, including, of course, Amr ibn al-As's wing, radiallahu. The Muslim centers and the left wing thus engaged their Roman counterparts, but did not press their attack. For this was to keep them occupied, whilst the full ferocity of the attack would be on the Muslim right wing. So this was the plan of Khalid radiallahu. Yazid's corps would engage with his counterpart. Abu Ubaidah's corps radiallahu would engage with his counterpart. Shurahbil's force radiallahu would engage with his counterpart. But Amr ibn al-As's wing, now with the full support of Khalid's cavalry, this was where the main thrust was. The other three were just kept at bay to prevent them from helping the counterpart of Amr ibn al-As's force, radiallahu. The 8,000 Muslim cavalry thus galloped around to the right of the Roman left wing, which faced the Muslim right wing. From here, Khalid radiallahu dispatched a regiment to engage and hold the Roman cavalry of the left, i.e. their screen in front of their wing. And with the bulk of the rest of the Muslim cavalry, struck hard at the side of the Roman left wing, i.e. the Slavs, whilst at the same time Amr ibn al-As radiallahu assaulted their front with extreme force. So putting it simply, what happened? The screen, which was the opposing side of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu, they had a Roman screen in front. So Khalid radiallahu anhu dispatched a small regiment to deal with them. This was the first thing he did. The second thing was Amr ibn al-As struck directly the counterparts, and Khalid with his full cavalry struck to the side. So there's three engagements taking place: the screen, the front, and smashed into the side by Khalid radiallahu anhu. From here, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu dispatched a regiment to hold the Roman cavalry of the left, and with the bulk of the rest of the Muslim cavalry struck hard at the side of the Roman left wing, whilst at the same time Amr assaulted their front with extreme force. The Slavs were stout fighters and for some time defended themselves courageously, but now getting no support from their cavalry, i.e. the screen, who were now engaged and assailed from the front and the side, they at last gave way to the blows. recoiling from the blows of Khalid and Amr radiyallahu anhuma, they fell back into their left center with the Armenians, which corresponded with the Muslim right center of whom Sharbil was in charge. So what happened? With the attack from both sides and no help from their cavalry who were now engaged, they didn't fall back. They just simply clumped into the wing, which is now opposing Sharbil. So simply put, the right wing has collapsed. You understand? Corresponding to Amr's wing, radiyallahu, and is joined now the central right wing opposing Sharbil, radiyallahu. Qanatir's Roman left wing thus now collapsed, and hence freed Amr's right wing completely to help the central right wing of Sharbil. So think about this. When the right wing collapsed, who's completely free? Amr. His entire right wing is free. So now they're going to launch into help Sharbil's forces, radiyallahu. Amr radiyallahu anhu thus now moved his freed right wing corps and swung it to the left and smashed it into the exposed left side of the Armenian left center. Coupled with this, there was now considerable disorder within it due to the arrival of the Slavs from their collapsed left wing. So what's happening? This central wing opposing Sharbil is being struck from various sides. To add to the confusion, the collapsed wing has joined them. So they're in pandemonium, basically, the Armenians. Whilst this was taking place, Khalid radiallahu anhu now moved his cavalry to help the regiment he had sent earlier to engage with the Roman cavalry left screen. So whilst this was taking place, don't forget he sent a small detachment to deal with the Roman cavalry. They were still fighting. So Khalid, before engaging with Sharbil section, he wanted to completely wipe this screen out. The second phase of the Muslim offensive began with Sharbil radiallahu anhu, the central right wing, now attacking with full force the Armenians, whilst Amr's corps was simultaneously smashing it from the side. Khalid, meanwhile, had by now given the Roman cavalry of the left a severe thrashing, and they galloped away to the north and safety. They had had enough of battle. At about this time, when the Roman cavalry of the left had been driven away by Khalid radiyallahu, Vahan had by now concentrated the remainder of his cavalry, the entire screen of the remaining three corps, into one powerful mobile army, which he now positioned behind the Roman center to counter-attack and regain lost positions. So what's Vahan doing now? He's lost his wing. So now what he does is he combines all his cavalry. He's imitating Khalid. And he's put all of his, he's trying to get all his cavalry into one mobile guard, and with that to restore the lost positions. That was his plan. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, however, one step ahead of them. And predicting this move, before the massed Roman cavalry could start any maneuver, it was also thereupon swiftly assaulted by the Muslim cavalry. So after Khalid thrashed the screen, he's now going for them before they could combine. The Romans fought gallantly, but in this type of fluid situation, the regular heavy cavalry was no match for the light, fast-moving horsemen of Khalid radiallahu anhu, who could strike, disengage, maneuver, and strike again. At last, the Roman cavalry, seeing no other way of survival, also broke contact with their Christian Arab general, Jabala, and fled to the north, taking with them the commander-in-chief, Vahan. So what happened? When he was trying to concentrate his cavalry, Khalid smashed into them. They realized it was hopeless. They broke. Now when they broke, who's now gone with them? The Jabala, who's in charge of all the cavalry, and Vahan, the commander-in-chief. He's headed for the hills, meaning it's over. Duly noted, it must be stated that in the essential cavalry action of the 6th day, there was no sign of Sayyidina Dirar, radiyallahu anhu. The believers missed the familiar sight of the half-naked warrior in the kind of battle that he would have reveled. They simply did not know where he was, and Khalid would not tell anybody, radiyallahu anhu. Meanwhile, the Armenians facing Sharbil's central right corps were still stoutly resisting Amr and Sharbil's attempts to crush them. So look how warlike they were. Shurahbil smashing them from the front. Amr's entire wing smashing them from the left. They're still hanging on. The Armenians. The two Muslim corps had made some headway, but not much. And this is understandable. For the Armenians, whom their king Vahan had now abandoned, were very brave fighters indeed. The noted historian Gibbon had written in his famous Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire that the Armenians were the most warlike subjects of Rome. Look how strange. These were the most bravest of the Romans. Kings don't like it. So then you think, well, hang on a minute. If they're the bravest of the bravest, the king should have set the standard. So this shows that he was the king. And yet, did he set the standard? No, he left them. But they're still fighting bravely, imagine, even though they're being assaulted. It was at this stage that Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, having driven the Roman cavalry from the battlefield, now also turned on the Armenians and charged them in the rear. Thus the Armenians were now being attacked from the front, from Shurahbil's corps, from the right by Amr's corps, and from the rear by the combined cavalry of Khalid radiallahu anhu. So what happened? From a triple whammy in the face of this three-pronged attack, the brave Armenians could do nothing except one thing, disintegrate. And those who could managed to escape the onslaught. Sayyidina Khalid, however, very interestingly, did not pursue them. He left them. As the central left wing of the Armenians collapsed, the remaining two armies, the center right and the right corps, realized the hopelessness of their situation, for their sides and rear were also now completely exposed. Consequently, the two wings also began to withdraw. Here again, the Roman movement was not intercepted by Khalid radiallahu anhu. However, the Muslim cavalry did move to the north of the Roman army so that none can escape in that particular direction. So what happened? As they are withdrawing from the battlefield, Khalid, he's not even really going for them. He just sent the cavalry in a northerly direction where there's an escape route. He goes, do not let them escape from there. Allahu Akbar. The believing forces thus now closed in on the already doomed, once proud army of the mighty Caesar. So now, before moving on, it is certainly worth mentioning that the historian Gibbon attributed the Romans' defeat to Khalid's exploitation of a violent sandstorm which blew in the face of the Romans. So imagine, Gibbon, right? The rise and fall of the Roman Empire. He goes, yeah, what happened was there was a sandstorm and Khalid used that to his advantage, and that's why the Romans, you know, uncharacteristically broke ranks. Subhanallah, no Muslim historian has ever mentioned anything about this fabled sandstorm. This is nothing but a proud Western historian's attempt to find an excuse for the Roman defeat. One of the brothers mentioned, it is the most studied battle in history, the Battle of Yarmouk. Why? Because they're still to this day trying to work it out. How did we lose? Because they don't believe in angels. Returning to reality, as the Romans fled from the plain of Yarmouk, their only desire was to put as much distance as possible between themselves and the Muslims. They knew that the northern escape route was closed by the Muslim cavalry, but another channel of escape was available where the Raqqad was crossed at a ford by a good road. Hence, towards this fort, the officers guided their men. So there was a kind of a ascension, and over there was an escape route. So they were heading towards there. Overjoyed at their escape from Yarmouk, the men in the lead labored up the road on the western bank of the ravine. It was only when they got near the top that they noticed a force of Muslims standing above them with raised swords. At their head stood a lean young warrior naked above the waist. Indeed, Khalid radiallahu anhu had sent Dirar radiallahu anhu with 500 horsemen the previous night to that very location. So let's stop the report, the narrative. How did Khalid know that they were going to end up trying to flee in that particular direction? What if all of what I've just mentioned did not happen? He sacrificed 500 horsemen with dirar. This shows that he was a master tactician. He knew exactly what they were up to. Every possibility he took into consideration. Now Sayyidina Dirar radiallahu anhu stood with his men on top of the western bank, looking down at the tired, panting Romans. The Romans were doomed. Only a third of the Roman army, 50,000 or so, now remained in this crowded corner of the plain of Yarmouk, against which the believers were now arranged in a neat semicircle. So picture the scene, they completely cornered. The only way to get out is to fight the Muslims or to fall over the ravine. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu had thus now placed the troops in the ideal situation for combat. And now it was up to the warriors to complete the task. All the five Muslim generals, Amr ibn al-As, Shurabil, Abu Ubaidah, Yazid, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, now drew their swords, and the lions of the desert moved in for the final annihilation. The Romans were trapped. They started to put up a brave fight, but eventually they broke. But where on earth were they going to flee? Moving like stampede cattle, the Roman rabble reached the end of the ravine. The view to the bottom was terrifying, but so was the last furious charge of the believers. Thus, inevitably, those coming in the rear pressed blindly against those on the edge of the ravine. And thus, subhanallah, rank after rank, file after file, the Roman army began to fall down the precipice. The blood-curdling screams of some continued until they hit the bottom, whilst the scream of others were cut short as their bodies crashed against jutting rocks and then continued to descend as shapeless bodies. Thousands of Romans sprawled with broken swords in their hands, true to the oath of death, which they had taken roughly a week earlier at the eve of the battle. Mingled with the soldiers lay countless priests, still clutching their crosses. The nauseating stench of decaying flesh rose and poisoned the air over the plain of Yarmouk. It was almost Maghrib when the Romans finally ceased to move. The day of the raging conflagration ended. The sword of Allah's greatest battle was over. So note, it was absolutely perfectly executed. And Khalid waited until he knew they couldn't have the heart to now face them. And he executed the plan absolutely perfectly. And like I've mentioned, the unbelievers, non-Muslims and Muslims have stood in this battle. Because this is the greatest battle in history. In terms of how such a small force defeated such a huge force. Taking the smallest estimates. The Muslim force defeated a force which had 110,000 souls more than theirs. That's the lower end of the estimate. Or 300,000. How is that possible? If a force is 110,000 more in number, or 300,000 more in number, and you defeat them. This is why they've studied this. And this is also a sign. It was the last great battle of Khalid bin Walid, as if Allah Ta'ala wanted to leave his signature on the earth. There was, however, one last action to perform. Early next morning, whilst the rest of the army gathered the spoils of war and buried their martyrs, Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu set off with the Muslim cavalry on the road to Damascus in the hope of reaching Vahan, the fleeing king of Armenia. The Roman commander-in-chief, heartbroken at the annihilation of his army and not for a moment suspecting that a pursuit would be launched by the Muslims, was moving without any real haste. A fatal mistake. So think about that. He actually thought, why would he come after me? The job's done, class. So he's just heading leisurely pace, basically. Sometime in the afternoon, Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu was soon upon them, when they were just a few miles short of Damascus, and at once ran the rear guard. Wahad rushed to the rear guard to supervise its action. And here, subhanAllah, the king of Armenia, the commander-in-chief of the imperial army, was killed by a simple Muslim horseman. Imagine, right? A simple Muslim horseman killed this mighty chief. Upon his death, Jabala, who was in command of the Christian Arab cavalry, broke with his cavalry into groups and, riding away to the north, east and west, escaped the clutches of the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More will be mentioned about the king of the Ghassan Arabs, Jabala, inshallah, at the appropriate place. So he was clever. He thought, we have to split, otherwise we're doomed. And he had cavalry, obviously he was the in charge of the cavalry. He split. So obviously, Khalid couldn't take them on. So the king of Ghassan got away through his ingenuity. The people of Damascus thereupon came out to greet Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. They reminded him of the pact which he had made with them on the surrender of the city 2 years before. And Khalid graciously assured them they were still under its protection. He didn't start saying this, that, and the other. He goes, you are still under our protection. The next day, Khalid radiallahu anhu rejoined the Muslim army on the plain of Yarmouk. So now just to add one quick detail to finish. The Battle of Yarmouk was the most disastrous defeat ever suffered by the Eastern Roman Empire. It spelled the end of Roman rule in Sham. So this is important. There was two capitals of the Roman Empire. There was the Eastern capital, which was in Sham, and the other was in Constantinople. The Eastern Roman Empire had now collapsed. It spelled doom for the Eastern Empire. The Western Empire lingered on. So what happened? In Ibn Asakir, Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 15, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 681-2 of the New English Translation, Abu Ishaq, he relates, rahmatullah alayhi, no enemy could stand his ground before any of the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, for even the time it took between two successive squeezes of a camel's teats when it is milked. Heraclius was in Antioch, i.e. which is now within modern Turkey bordering Syria, at the time when his Roman army returned defeated from the Battle of Yarmouk. He thereupon said, shame on you. Inform me about those people that you were fighting. Were they not human like you? The men replied, O venerated emperor, they certainly were humans like us. Heraclius then wrote, then were you more in number or were their numbers more? The men replied, O venerable emperor, on every occasion we were several times more in number than they. Heraclius thereupon asked, then how on earth were you defeated? An elderly man amongst the ranks, he thereupon said, O emperor, it is because they stand in salat at night and they fast all day. They fulfill their promises. They enjoin the good, forbid the evil, and they are just towards each other. It is also because we consume wine, we fornicate, we do what is prohibited, we break our promises, we rob, we oppress, we enjoin what is forbidden, prohibit people from acts that please our Lord, we spread anarchy upon the earth. Heraclius replied, upon reflection, you are indeed speaking the truth. SubhanAllah. So what was the reason? They themselves testified to, because they are saints. We are not, we are far from it. And that is the real reason we could not oppose them. And Heraclius, imagine, the people thought his head's going to come off this guy. He just insulted the emperor. And he says, you've spoken the truth. So note, this is the reality. Now this is the tragedy to finish. SubhanAllah. If one looks at the list of the unbelievers' qualities in this report, it is as if now we are describing the Muslims of today's day and age. Imagine if somebody says this to you, whom are talking about? They take drugs. They fornicate. They do what's haram. They break their promises. They rob. They oppress. They enjoin the evil. And they do things that cause anarchy upon the earth. Talking about Muslims, aren't you, brother? That's why we're in this mess. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, you will follow them. Inch by inch, yard by yard. And the Sahaba goes, are you referring to the Jews and Christians? Because who else? In one report, the Romans and Persians. Because who else? So, do you think Allah is going to change the command? Right? You can keep dreaming about authority. It's just a dream in the pipework. You have to get these qualities. And even Heraclius, imagine, Roman emperor said, absolutely correct. He goes, this is why we were defeated. Now look at Heraclius. He could only do what he could do. He sent armies, which were always greater in number, gave them the full advantage, gave them the full strategy, sent the most seasoned generals to lead these armies. That's why he's asking these questions. And they said, yeah, every time we were more numerous, every time. Then how did you lose? And the soldiers themselves said, because of their piety. And this is why Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, we don't fight due to numbers, we fight due to our deeds. This is in Bukhari. Well, are you going to fight with Nabla? I don't even do my fajr. MashaAllah, brother. Right? So what are you going to fight with? Bullets. Right? Nuclear bombs. Abu Darda was, we fight with our deeds. And this is why the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given. And if you don't believe that, study your history. Every time they were why are we losing? Persians, why are we losing? Romans, why are we losing? We got more manpower, we got more this, we're better archers, we're strong in this divisions, we got the entire empire, we can draw upon our reserves. Why are we losing? Because of deeds. Right? And this is why it's so important for us to understand that. At the same time, of course, we do prepare. You know, preparations for jihad is also very important. But the greatest preparation is to prepare yourself, not the army. Right? No point going naked on the battlefield. Imagine, innit? You got the bullets and you're naked. Put sawar kameez on first, innit, brother? Right? Where's the deeds? Subhanallah. So, note again, very important lessons we can take. And a reality which even the unbelievers testified to. Subhanallah. So all I mentioned today was basically the conclusion of the glorious battle of Yarmouk. I mentioned the fifth and the final sixth day. I'm talking just about the key turning points during the fateful final day and the brilliance of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu, that he absolutely pulverized the enemies. And this befits his great status being the glorious sword of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا الصبر